With presence in over 50 countries and more than 4 billion views on YouTube, Upin and Ipin is perhaps the most successful animated series from Malaysia. Founder, owner, and managing director of Leko Park, Tuan Haji Burhanuddin Madrazi, tells a Wani review about what it takes to bring a local IP global and keeping audiences continuously captivated. Tuan Haji Burhanuddin Madrazi, the brains behind Malaysia's beloved twin animated series Upin and Ipin. Thank you so much, Tuan Haji, for having me at your beautiful studio.
Yeah, thank you.
Tuan Haji, I want to start with going back to the beginning, you know, when you first started this this business. I think more than 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you know right from the start that you had wanted to create something that can resonate with people across the world, across all races, or did you get lucky?
Yeah, whenever I go into any business, I have to look into how big is the business can be. If just about a year, the turnover is about 100,000, 200,000, I'm not interested. So I see animation is a new thing. If we look back, used to travel with my wife to US, all that, we see Disney, how he created into a big business. So, of course, I'm interested to do that kind of business. But to reach that level, there are so many things you have to do first. You must get your IP very famous that people want to go in. That's something you have to study how to make it.
So you're a businessman, not so much an animator then?
No.
You're not a creative guy?
Until now, I don't know how to animate. I'm not interested in animating yet. What I'm looking at, how we can build the business into a big one.
Was Disney your role model?
Yeah, we, if you look, Leko Park is model like Disney. The way it is doing the business. We grew up the IP to make it big. And then, I said, if we look now, Disney only 30% depend on their 30% income yearly, depend on TV series, all that. They just want to make it the momentum running. But the rest, it comes from other business. They're talking about theme park, media, all that.
When we first met a few years ago, during our first interview, you did mention theme park. That was a dream of yours. A few years later, hasn't come to fruition yet. Is that still in the plan?
Yeah, I think very soon we're going to build it. We already got the land in Cyberjaya. Now we are doing the feasibility study. Hopefully next month we can present it to some of you. If it's feasible, then we continue making it. In fact, next month I'm going to UK. It's my team. We want to visit Harry Potter. And there's one studio in Paris that we want to see, and also we're going to bring them to Disneyland to see how they do the all the thing. Of course, I'm not going to build like Disneyland because we are not Hazana, got a lot of money. So we just do whatever I can do.
And speaking of that, sustainability is a very big topic when it comes to building something like theme park. We have seen in Malaysia. Many have started and then they've closed down after a couple of years. So does that scare you a bit?
I'm not scared. The thing that I told all those people, especially Hazana, when they want to build a theme park, first, you cannot use foreign IPs because you are paying the franchise fees through the nose. When is the franchise fees too high, the ticket must be very high to sustain your income. Then if it's too high, you cannot get repeat visitors. And the second thing, you must have an IP with a lot of followers. To be honest, like Legoland, they don't have IPs. So people come once only, want to see. After that, they don't come and repeat it. But I think now is the time is right for us to build the theme park because we have huge followers from Indonesia and surrounding. So that's what we are aiming for them to come. And also, since 2019, Upi Ipin already entered Indian subcontinent through Disney. In 2019, Upi Ipin rated number 9. 2020, it goes to number 3. When we asked for last year, they don't want to give.
Where's the viewership coming from predominantly?
Yeah, Indian continent. You know, who watched Disney channel in India? It must be middle and higher class. So I'm not surprised. When the Disney representative came last month, they told me we've been doing very well. And now they are interested on all our products. Yeah. So I'm not surprised that India is another there's a huge follower will come to visit Upi Ipin Theme Park.
Also, if you look at YouTube numbers, you have people watching in from the Europe, from US, and this twin characters very much rooted on Malaysian culture, Malaysian life in the village. Why do you think it resonates with people who are not even Malaysian?
Yeah, from the beginning, when I started, I said, if you want to be successful, your product must have originality. Mm-hmm. You cannot copy the story, the style, everything. You cannot copy foreign product, the one which are successful. The moment you copy, you become copycat. So you have to be original. The beauty about Upi Ipin is about everyday life. The interaction between those two boys and their grandmother and their sisters, that is everyday life. You can go to anywhere in Africa or in America, all that. They can easily relate to themselves. So that's why I think Upi Ipin is very successful in Indonesia.
Because we have a lot of cultural similarities.
Yeah. And not only in Indonesia, if we look at the YouTube back end, where our money come from, the first of course Malaysia, second Indonesia, but the third is from US.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Who's watching in the US?
Yeah, you never know. That was the question asked by Google to me when I visited their office. Mm-hmm. I told them, you don't underestimate the American people.
But how do you keep them interested? I know you're not involved in the script writing, your wife does that mostly. Yeah. But what is it about Upi Ipin that can get people hooked?
Yeah, it's what my instruction to all my staff, even to my wife, the humor cannot be from the dialogue.
Okay.
It has to be from the action, the gesture, all that. The beauty about my wife, she knows how to make it very interesting. A medical script can become a very good script. And when she finishes it, she gave it to my team. They can translate into a very good film. I think that was the hit. The way my wife create the story to be suspense, all that. So it's very interesting. Until now, some of the episodes that we release, mostly we release in Indonesia. I remember one, we say Chimera, this one episode. When they release in Indonesia, the whole Indonesian people cry because the story is very touching.
I also had a chance to meet some of your staff, the creative team, the production team, very big team you have, about 200 plus. I think a lot of them are local talents. I think probably like
100%.
Yeah.
I have only one Indonesian lady. She is married to our staff also. That's all. The rest are all local. Because I always believe in local talent. Even when I was in oil and gas, I don't believe in hiring all these Filipinos to work for my company last time. We take the pain.
Do you think that Malaysia's animation industry has grown and is thriving
Do you think we're heading in the right direction?
Yeah, I think with the success of UPEPIN, people start to acknowledge that we have the talent. Last time, when MBEC enticed all these big companies to come to Malaysia, all these people always complain that Malaysia don't have a talent. Mm. But I told them, you don't want to train. You want to have a talent or experience. And then you start poaching from other companies. For us, we take the pain to train all our staff. With that training program that we have in-house, the then Minister of Education, will be Datuk Seri Rejoso, asked me to develop a college. And now the college running with animation. We offer diploma in animation. And is MQA certified. So far, we have produced 2 graduates, but they are doing very well. Mm. So most of them we absorb into our company.
But do you think Malaysia has what it takes to be, if not global hub, regional hub for animation?
Yeah, we do have. You see, a lot of people try to outsource their job here. Mm. So most of the animation studio in Malaysia, because they cannot get their IP famous to generate income, so they go for outsourcing job.
But are we just, should we just be happy with outsourcing jobs?
Yeah, for it depends on this company, what they want to go. For us from the beginning, I don't want to be an outsourcing company. We never take outside job. So we are IP creators from the beginning. That's why I said that if you don't have money, you don't do.
That's what you said actually the last time.
Yeah.
When we discussed, you said if you don't have the money, don't get into animation. Do you still feel the same? Because right now you can create stuff like easily on your mobile phone and on apps. There's more accessibility is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, the access is there. Streamline. Streaming, all there, like Netflix, all that. The question is, do they have enough income to sustain their workers? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
Why?
They didn't get much.
Are you creating good products, good IPs?
No, like Netflix and Disney, they don't buy as much as what they get earned from the TV, local TV station when they are buying our series. Mm-hmm. What they pay, only 20% what they're supposed to get. So how do they want to survive?
Well, I guess then the people will ask you then, how did you survive? How are you sustaining a business and growing?
The way I do it differently, I don't sell my product. We partner with the TV station. When we entered Indonesia last time, no doubt we have TV9 here. TV9, we sold our product to TV9, our series. But in Indonesia, they are partners to us because they can't afford to pay what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. So they offer us to share the revenue from the advertising. But because UPEPIN, big hit.
Yeah.
Now, UPEPIN is running 5 hours a day at time in Indonesia. 5 hours a day, morning 2.5 hours, noon 1 hour, and evening 1.5 hours. So it's 5 hours a day, 7 days a week. You imagine how much we can earn from advertising inside it. Hmm. So the Indonesians are very smart, not like local TV. They can put any advertising. They make the screen small, put all the advertising, all that. Then the revenue generated is very, very big. And now UPEPIN, this show, is a prime show.
Indonesia is a huge market, 200 plus million people, compared to, say, Malaysia, about 30 odd, and not everyone watches animated series. But a lot of local startups know that dream of becoming the next UPEPIN, dream becoming the next Tuan Haji and Les Kopak. But failing to get that access, what do you think are the obstacles that perhaps they need some help with?
Yeah, to get yourself famous in other countries, you must be famous in your own country. Mm-hmm. Now the TV station, all these private TV station, the Media Prima or Astro, they can't afford to pay what they used to get last time. Mm-hmm. Only RTM are paying that huge for local animation company. So because of that, I think all these private stations are showing all rerun. Mm. Because they already acquired it quite some time. And also they are buying syndicated program from overseas, which is a lot cheaper than they buy the local animation. So they don't want to buy product from local. So if they don't want to buy, how you expect this animation studio want to promote their product?
So you're saying that the local ecosystem is not supportive enough to our local talents?
So that's why I'm proposing to the government, instead of giving grant to this studio, they give some grant to the TV station to buy this product so that they can survive. If they have enough rating in the country, then only they can talk for overseas market to buy. Now, the problem, local TV station don't want to buy. So if they don't want to buy, they have no place to show, except they go for YouTube.
Yeah.
But once you put on YouTube, you cannot sell it overseas anymore.
What about other streaming platforms like, you know, so we're having seen like people like this, Netflix, Disney Plus, HBO, are they not something that local talent should be looking at, or do you think that's just too difficult?
Yeah, all the local studio, if they get it run on Disney or in stream on Netflix, they thought they are so big. Yeah. But in reality, the money is so little. Can't even sustain their studios. That's why I'm amazed when they go very big, saying Disney Plus, all that. But actually, they get very little money. And year after year, they talk to the government, give them grant to sustain them. How long the government want to put money? So they have to do something to make their product go high.
Is government intervention help the answer for that? What about the ecosystem itself? You know, the private sector, private investors, is that not something that's attractive enough for them to look at?
Because creative is something very subjective. So the studio will say, if the government give me a lot of money, I can produce something that hit the world. That's always the case, be it animation or film industry. I cannot make big film because I don't have the budget. But when you give them the budget, the story cannot sustain the popularity. And the film, Medicare, they don't even know how to make a story which can go climax and people very interested to see. If they make drama, it's always about love story. Before you start, you know what's the end. So these are the things that we have to look into, how to maneuver this. The young people who are involved in animation, they love the fighting story. They love superhero. But the moment you make superhero, to be is imitation. That's why they cannot get off the ground or sustain their product for a long, long time. Like Ubi Pin, we are talking about everyday life. The story never finish. Every day you can dream. You can do something else. If the boys are tired, they want to do something very spectacular, you can make Ubi Pin as a superhero in their dream. That's the beauty of our story. In Malaysia, the children are watching Ubi Pin. The parents, not so much. But in Indonesia, different. The parents are the ones waiting who waited for a new series. And everyone that I met over there, they can relate each episode they watch. That's different market to us.
In fact, almost half of your revenue is comes from Indonesia.
Half of our revenue comes from Indonesia.
Will that still be your biggest focus moving forward?
Yeah.
Or are you looking to diversify your revenue a bit to have more?
Yeah, we are. We thank God we got Indonesia is the biggest revenue to us. But when you do business to in other country, you have always remind yourself what happened if something goes wrong. Mm. So of course we have to look into other revenue to strengthen our income, so that anything happen, we can still survive.
Is that why you're looking at musical and theme parks and possibly more movies?
The musical, I don't think it will generate in big revenue to us. It's just for me to showcase, to bring Malaysia to all over the world. But theme park is something that we wanted to make from the beginning, because we feel that's the next revenue which could sustain us for a long time.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. And it's at Sabahjaya, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We just have a couple of minutes left. I just want to get a bit about your, you know, your personal take about leadership and innovation, because innovation is so important when it comes to, of course, in the creative industry. How do you keep challenging yourself to stay fresh, to stay excited, and to have your audience feel the same about your products? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to explore new things. Like to explore new ways of doing business, but I always give a chance to all my staff. Now, Lekopak is led by my daughter. She keep on telling me all these are new things, all that. Every day when we have dinner, we discuss. She told us all these new things. Just I give them encouragement to look into this, all that, and also. We provide our staff the chance. If they propose to us, there's a convention, overseas, all that, we say go. So they have the chance to do on their own what they wanted to do. Of course, we have to look into, for me, I have to look into how much cost it will incur, how much revenue they can bring. But I'm a risk taker. Sometimes I know we don't have income, but we want to go in that direction. Like our academy, I think we have not made any money yet. But we know one day it will be a premier animation college. So we keep going.
What keeps you excited?
Yeah, I like to do new things. Every 10 years, I change my business. Now, I go into vaccine, manufacturing. Last year, with my friend, we bought the government vaccine factory in Milai. So we are moving towards producing vaccine for the nation.
When will you start production? And what kind of vaccines are you looking at?
I think early next year, we're going to do something to produce vaccine. But the initial one, of course, we cannot produce our own vaccine. We have to collaborate with Obisi Gambi. Right now, we'll be collaborating with Turkish company producing vaccine for the children. So once we get to do it, we will produce it for the South Asian market. So in 2024, it might go into the government program with WHO to develop vaccine for COVID. So that's something, it's a new thing. I believe we have a lot local talent that we can train and use to produce something for the country.
So from oil and gas man to animation man and probably next vaccine man.
Yeah.
Okay. You have four children and three of them works for the company.
Yeah.
I do wonder, I'm curious to know, you know, when you sit at a dinner table, right, what kind of advice do you give to them when it comes to managing money and managing business?
Yeah, I don't... We discuss in general about how to go, where to go, all that. But all my children, they're very smart. They know the technical, how I used to do it. So, yeah, sometimes we fight, certain things. Especially if my wife don't want to do that, then my daughters get like this. And in the end, I said, okay, we should go this way.
So you're the mediator.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you personally? What do you think has been your biggest achievement in life?
Yeah, to be successful and recognized by people, making Ubi Pin is one of the most biggest thing that we make. I think Ubi Pin, when you say Ubi Pin, the whole Malaysia are very proud of it.
Yeah.
And the whole world know it comes from Malaysia. It's something very, very big, which I don't envisage when I started. Mm-hmm. But I know we are going in that direction one day.
Well, certainly. Thank you so much, Tuan Haji, for speaking with me. I mean, this is our second time speaking. I visited your office twice. This is the second time now. And always there's something fresh from you. And I'm so looking forward to see what's next for you personally and also like Lekopat. Thank you so much for your time and thank you for hosting me.
Thank you.